The Timberwolves' John Folkey is not only one of the best broadcasters in the business, but also KATE alumnus who got his start right here in Albert Lea.
Minnesota's defense, pretty solid. They held Golden State to just 42% shooting.
You've got to find ways to make that up in other areas.
14 offensive rebounds for 20 second chance points.
John Folkey has his finger on the pulse of the team every day up in Minneapolis, making him the perfect person to ask about everything Timberwolves. Every week, Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson does just that.
Is it becoming any more of a more legitimate concern? Fans are expecting wins. Even if it is there anything you can really do about it?
This is the Wolves Weekly Update with John Folkey and Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson.
You're listening to our Wolves Weekly Update, where we get on the phone with the Timberwolves Radio Network's John Folkey, who's also a KATE alumnus, to talk about everything going on with the Timberwolves and the season as it gets ready to wrap up here, or at least it's looking that way again after this weekend, John. A couple of losses to teams that, again, they're solid quality teams, and you got the two wins over the weekend at home against teams that you should have beat, but we talked a lot about winning the games you should win and then grabbing some on the road, that time's over. The Timberwolves won the games they should have won over the weekend, but there were two games on either end that they really needed to win or at least get one of them and couldn't pull off either against Detroit and then Denver last night.
Yeah, second end of a back-to-back last week as, you know, the Timberwolves traveled to Detroit. And, you know, the Pistons, they're about a 500 team. They're, at the time, a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, you know. So that was a game, and Nate, we've seen this before out of this team. It's really interesting that, you know, on the second end of a back-to-back, you'd think the team would come out maybe lacking some energy, you know, legs a little gas. It's the opposite for this team. They come out strong, and, you know, they were able to build, I believe, a 16-point lead in that game, but unable to maintain it. So, you know, it's almost like the opposite of some teams when you see them in the second end of a back-to-back, they start slow, start to get their legs underneath them, and then battle in the second half. For the Wolves, we've seen this a couple times this year where get off to a great start and you're like, wow, that energy is fantastic. They build a double-digit lead, but they can't maintain it and they can't close the game out. And, you know, that was a story against Detroit, and it's disappointing because, you know, if you want to be one of those teams that is a consistent playoff team, and, you know, you look at the top teams in both conferences, and when they build a double-digit lead, there is a very good chance that they're going to close it out. I mean, that's what those top teams do. And unfortunately for Minnesota, you know, numerous times this season they've built double-digit leads, but they haven't been able to close them out. And I think you look back at some of those games and say those will be the difference. You know, by the time it's all said and done this season, you look back at those types of games and you look back at, you know, some of the losses to teams that aren't in the playoff picture, like the two overtime losses to Atlanta and, you know, losses at Memphis, at Orlando. You know, there's a handful of those that you look back on and say, man, if those games would have gone different, this season would have gone differently.
When you talk about the Timberwolves losing those leads, is there any sort of consistency that you've seen throughout the season in what it is that causes them to drop those? Is it teams just getting tired or execution of game plan in those later quarters just not working?
Well, I think, you know, as you look at this group over the last couple of years and, you know, we've seen blown double-digit leads, you know, the last couple of seasons. And I think what stands out is, you know, the one common denominator, the team's offense gets going. And, you know, so essentially they're outscoring their opponent, but you've got to be able to get stops. And, you know, eventually whoever the opponent is, they'll start hitting some shots. And if you're just relying on your offense, not necessarily your defense to get those stops, that's when you run into problems. And, you know, the Timberwolves defense on the road has just really struggled this year. I mean, it is complete night and day when you look at, you know, their defensive rating at home versus their defensive rating on the road. And that's something that, you know, is a head scratcher. For whatever reason, they can bring the defensive intensity here at Target Center, but as soon as they hit the road, they really struggle. And whether it's closing out games, whether it's, you know, getting timely stops, stringing together stops, defending the three-point line, transition. I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily one thing that you could say, okay, fix that, and everything will be fixed. You know, certainly The three-point line has been a big issue this year, and look no further than last night when Denver knocked down 18 of them and shot 60% from beyond the arc. And so, you know, that one is glaring. But overall, I think it's when this team gets off to a good start offensively and they're just outscoring the other team, to build that double-digit lead, that's when they run into problems, because at some point you've got to be able to get some stops. At some point, you know, those shots are going to stop falling for a couple of minutes, and if you're not getting stops at the other end, teams can get back into it and make up a double-digit lead very quickly the way these teams are shooting the three ball this year.
John, it seemed like just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how everything was so tight in the West, like it was last year, gearing up for a really, really exciting run down the stretch that could even end again like what it was last year, the last game deciding a lot in that playoff picture. Now it seems like everything's separated. Four games separate 8th and 9th place in the Western Conference. It's not at all like what last year was. With that being said, have the Timberwolves gotten past the idea of trying to make a run for the playoffs? Because while they're now, I think it's 6 games out of 8th place, they also have only 3 games left against teams that aren't playoff teams right now, out of the 14, I think it is, remaining.
Well, I don't think, you know, the players or the coaching staff have given up on it. I mean, you never know, and certainly, you know, you're not out of it until you're actually eliminated. So I don't think they take that approach at all. I think, you know, everyone realizes that, you know, the margin is incredibly thin right now. But, you know, that doesn't matter. You still got to go out and compete as if, you know, you're going to make a run at the postseason, because you never really know what happens. Now, you know, looking at kind of the way the West has settled over the last couple of weeks, it is a daunting challenge. There's certainly no question about it. But, you know, the guys aren't going to give up or raise the white flag, anything like that. I mean, look no further than Karl Anthony Towns, who, you know, had that scary knee injury on Saturday evening late in the ball game, sat out Sunday, came back, and, you know, was raring and ready to go against Denver and put up 34 points and 10 rebounds. So, no, I don't think these guys are looking at it like, oh, let's raise the white flag because we're 6 games out with, you know, just I think 15 or maybe 13 left to play, something like that. You know, I don't think that's their mindset at all. They're going to continue to fight until they're actually eliminated from the postseason. And, you know, you've got at this point in the season, no matter, you know, what the standings look like or where you're at, all these guys have something to prove. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, trying to prove and continue to put his stamp on this team that, you know, he is the leader, he is the go-to guy, and he's been incredible since the All-Star break. And then, you know, some of these other guys like Kata Bates-Diop, who stepped into the starting lineup for the last 3 games, trying to show as a second-round pick that he's someone who could be a contributor moving forward for this team. And, you know, other guys like Cam Reynolds, who's on his second 10-day contract and getting some opportunity with the injuries, trying to prove that he belongs in this league and trying to show teams, you know, that he is a viable NBA player, whether for the Timberwolves or somebody else. So each and every night, I mean, with the playoffs obviously still being the goal until you're officially eliminated, each of these guys is going out there every single night with something to prove. And, you know, they're going to continue to play extremely hard. I think, you know, Ryan talked about that after the game last night, that's one of the things he's most proud of with this group. I mean, you go into that game last night against the number 2 team in the Western Conference, and you're missing, you know, 2 of your top point guards in Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose, missing Andrew Wiggins, missing Robert Covington, missing Luol Deng. You know, it is a daunting challenge, and these guys, you know, multiple different times they cut into that Denver lead, and then the Nuggets just answered every run. I mean, that's the mark of a good and great team right there, and Denver certainly is proving that they are that in the Western Conference. But, you know, I think these guys will continue to compete. It's just not in their makeup not to.
You mentioned how with Towns' injury, he came back right away, was able to play last night. But for some of those more lingering injured guys, I'm thinking of like a Jeff Teague, the Robert Covington, the players that you just listed off. Could the situation the Timberwolves are in now with them, again, looking on the outside of the playoffs, going in at least right now, do you think it could at least affect how quickly they come back? Maybe if Covington was closer to coming back near the end of the season, if the Timberwolves were closer to being in it, do you think it would have an effect on whether or not he gets more playing time this season, or whether or not the team tries to make sure he's healthy going forward? Because again, we've mentioned before, when he's on the floor, it's an entirely different team.
Yeah, I mean, it is an entirely different team. You just saw the way that he impacted that team's defensive rating when he was out there. As far as, you know, once these guys are healthy, they're going to be back out on the floor. You know, there's no question about it. And, you know, whether they're healthy and good to go against Utah or against Houston on this trip, or next Tuesday against Golden State, it all remains to be seen. But once these guys are healthy, they'll be back out there and ready to contribute.
Let's look ahead a little bit now. You mentioned it's another tough stretch, Utah, Golden State. I think Charlotte comes up after that. But another trip on the road for the Timberwolves and opportunities to get quality wins against quality teams at a time where, when we keep talking about it, it's no more margin for error for these guys.
The road is is very difficult, man, especially, you know, now that you're starting to see some separation in the Western Conference. It's not so much about, you know, teams making the playoffs. It's jockeying for position. And I think Utah is a great example. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, they were world beaters. Suddenly, over their last 10 games, they've gone 5-5, and they've slipped all the way down to 8th in the Western Conference. And Denver and Golden State are in a battle for the top spot. And, of course, as you mentioned, we'll see the Warriors coming up on Tuesday here at Target Center. And then there's Houston, who got off to a dreadful start, and they're trying to climb their way out of that hole and nab one of the top four spots. And, you know, just last week when Oklahoma City was in town, the Wolves beat the Thunder, the Blazers lost, Houston won, and the Rockets went from 5th to 3rd, and everybody else dropped down. So it is going to be, I think, a fun couple of weeks here as, you know, Minnesota matches up with some of these teams that are in the playoff picture and trying to figure out their positioning and, you know, trying to gain every single advantage to get the higher seed, to get out of certain matchups that maybe don't they don't match up with well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and, you know, hopefully the Wolves get some guys back and are able to compete in these games and, you know, play the role of spoiler a little bit and try to shake some things up.
John Fokey joins us over the phone on Kate Radio. John, before we let you go, I want to go a little bit bigger picture. Whether or not the Timberwolves make the playoffs, there's still holes that need to be filled on this roster for next season and things that need to be improved on. What area of the game or certain player you might want or things like along those lines, I guess, what would you say is the biggest thing the Timberwolves need to address in this offseason?
Well, I think number one, the defense, and obviously it'll change when Robert Covington gets back. But the more you can add those players along the lines of Covington, the guys that, you know, can lock down on the perimeter or be shot blockers, but also bring you that ability to spread the floor and contribute in the 3-point shooting. I mean, you would love some of those guys. And obviously, as I mentioned, Covington coming back at some point and certainly next season. Developing, you know, a guy like Josh Okogie, who's certainly made a name for himself on the defensive end, but, you know, can you turn him into a reliable and consistent 3-point shooter? Same with Kata Bates-Diop. You know, he's got the ability to switch, you know, across multiple positions. His length is great. Can you turn him into one of those guys? I think he's already shown that he can be a high impact, low usage player because, you know, he's great cutting without the basketball. Can you develop that 3-point shot with him as well? So 3-and-D guys, I think, you know, the Wolves certainly could use some of those, and every team across the NBA is looking for those type of guys. And then addressing the defensive end, you know, I mean, that's really been the biggest thing with this team. Offensively, they've got a ton of weapons, and, you know, they're versatile, and I think as you develop that 3-point shooting, and Ryan Saunders has done a great job putting an emphasis on that, whether in the half court or transition threes, you know, he's really made that a point of focus. And then, you know, can you develop this team defensively? Because that's the biggest area where we see a glaring need for this group. And, you know, it could be due to injuries or whatever, but, you know, they've got to figure out a way to compete defensively night in and night out, especially on the road if they want to get back to being a playoff team.
That's John Fokey, formerly of KATE, now with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Lynx. You can find him on Twitter at JW Fokey. You can find those teams at Timberwolves and at Lynx, respectively. John, thanks again for calling up again and talking to us on Timberwolves. We'll hear from you again next week, hopefully with some brighter things to talk about.
All right, looking forward to it.